As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily, the challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1. And it's 24-7, the world's best radio station.
Never better get checked. There ain't no difference
when the king goes sick. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, as always, I'm happy to be here, and I just want look forward to us talking and having this discussion, and look forward to the show growing so that even more people can have their opinions expressed and that we can have a good time going over the different that need our opinions expressed clearly. And it's just, I so look forward, because I grow in my opinions by listening to other people's opinions. And so I want to take some time out to, again, you know, we want to make sure everybody's on the line. And so we're going to do a little short break here in the very beginning to get everybody on board. And then we're going to have our discussion. Sometimes stories just come to you. You know, I spend most of my day looking for things that are interesting for us to talk about. and us to get a opportunity to share with others so that we can better have an idea, a grasp, you know, what's going on in the world around us. But I have to tell you that today, this story has been a couple of days coming to the forefront. I remember hearing about this man named LeVar Ball. And Mr. Ball, in and of himself, was what you would call an average athlete. And he was married. He married someone he met in college. And she was a white female, and she was a volleyball player. And they had three sons. And this man committed himself to his children in ways that you all will probably never truly understand. But I know what it is to be the son of a father who is very committed to supporting his son and his endeavors, who sees his son as an extension of himself. And that's a lot of pressure. But Mr. LeVar Ball goes far further than that. I mean, he was so involved in his son's life and their commitment to basketball that everything they did was toward an end. Similar like the Williams sisters' father. And so now he has created this brand for his boys. His boys, now one of them is in college, who is an outstanding athlete. The other two are in high school, who are doing, you know, school. One of the sons scored 90 points the other day. The other one is playing just as well. They've been on championship state teams, and they're looking to go to outstanding colleges, all three of them. But this man is now on national television talking about his boys are going to be billionaires. They're skipping millionaires, and they're going to be billionaires based on their abilities that he has created through his commitment to his young son. And while he is on his verge of seeing his dream come true, he is getting in a lot of combative arguments with people around the country because he's going on to talk about how great his sons are going to be than other present players. And he is just creating an environment where he's putting a lot of pressures on his sons that they're going to have to, you know, fulfill these comparisons that he's been making up. And they very well may do that. And I know I wish them well. I have no ill will against his sons at all. But we want to spend some time talking about, you know, can a father create an environment that makes it more difficult for you to fulfill your dreams? Can he be involved in your life so much that you can't see the forest for the trees? And does he not realize that every athlete who aspires to be a professional athlete is just one injury away? So you can't make all these plans for your children without them coming to grips with the fact that some of them may not be able to get there because of unforeseen accidents. And so as we look forward and talk about this father who seems to be consumed and is going on every talk show available to him to talk about how his sons are greater than all the other stars that in the present game, and that if they were put in a position, he says his son is great enough to turn the Lakers around. And it is just interesting that we have this African-American father who is completely consumed by what is going on with his children right now, and has he gone too far? Is he creating an environment again that his kids will not be able to? He's gotten into an argument with LeBron James, bringing LeBron James' kid into the picture about whether or not his child is going to be able to be greater than him. And his suggestion is that because he was an average athlete, it's going to make it easier for his children to be great athletes than the reverse. When a person is a great athlete, it's made more difficult for their children to surpass them. And LeBron has told him he needs to keep his children out of his mouth. And instead of him apologizing, he is creating a more adversarial confrontation between him and LeBron by telling him that, you know, nobody don't tell me what to do, and you're not going to tell me to shut up, and I can talk about anything I want to talk about, and ain't nobody going to do anything about it. And it's like, wow, this guy is really going overboard. And so we want to just kind of discuss today as we talk about the importance of fathers playing a positive role in their children's lives. Is it possible for a father to get too involved? You know, I don't mind whatsoever a father trying to direct the careers of their children, and certainly he has every right to engage the NBA in a way that will inspire them to pay top dollar for his three sons to play in the NBA. And he may be the very first father to have three sons play in the NBA at the same time. And they may all turn out to be great players. And we might be talking 10 years from now about how great he was to create these three superstar sons. And but does he have to be adversarial as he tries to guide his three sons into these careers? Or does he need to be cautious so that his sons can still have a life if they don't make it to the NBA? And so we just want to talk about, you know, the importance of parents walking that fine line related to their children and assisting their children as they guide them through life. I'm going to go to Regina first and ask Regina what her thoughts are. I tried to send out the information to everybody, and this is getting to be a real big stink in the NBA. And so we need to talk about fatherhood. Hi, Regina. How are you doing this evening?
Hi. How are you?
Do you have any idea who LeVar Ball is?
No, not yet. I will know in just a little bit. I'm just leaving work, so I didn't get a chance to look at it. But I can answer from I can give you a quick answer. We're dedicating my mom's house. I'm headed to this ceremony. But people need to, I've always heard, well, I heard once someone say, you know, be careful. Don't brag on your children. They'll disappoint you. And you need to be careful about how you brag on your children. You always need to remember from whence that talent came. And you need to always be humble so that if they should fall, the fall won't be so great.
And you're so right. You have to be real careful the kind of pressures you put on your children. I know that I always try to be for real on this show. And I was very tall, and I guess you're still tall. You know, I'm about 6'6", but I was a real skinny guy. And I was always had what they call potential. You know, I can remember when I finished second place in the 101 competition at Memorial Middle School, and I remember 2 years in a row I came in second place in the 101 competition. And we had very good basketball teams when I came in second place. I went to Florida State and went up there and participated in a basketball camp, and I came second place again in the 101 competition. Looked like every time I get in these competitions, I could never win. I come in second place. And, you know, it was, you know, you start questioning yourself. And then I was on one of the best teams in the state. And, you know, we had these other guys scoring 20 points a game. And, you know, you couldn't be the superstar on the team because you had these two great shooters on your team. And the rest of you guys would try to get the other points that those two didn't get. And, you know, there were nights when I had real good nights and nights when I didn't do so well. But I can tell you that it felt disappointing when you didn't please your father, who came to every game, or when he questioned, you know, your effort. You know, you felt like you were disappointing him. And so you have to be real careful with your kids about what it is that the kind of expectations they have and the kind of expectation you may have as a parent. But this man seems to be out of control. I mean, literally, he's going on every talk show that allow him, talking about how great his kids are and how they're going to be billionaires when all of them reach the next level. So it's just interesting to see, you know, and he's saying they're going to be better than LeBron James. They're going to be better than, you know, all these athletes who are now playing. And mind you now, they are superstars. I mean, get me wrong, one of his sons scored 90-some points. The other son is already in college, and he's doing awesome and probably won't play any more than 1 or 2 years in college. And so he's developed some great athletes in these three sons, but the way to the pros, he's creating a very hostile environment for these boys. Let's go on and see what D thinks. How you do, D? This is how you feeling today?
I'm doing good, everybody. Regina, how you doing? I'm glad to hear about your mom's ceremony today, and I'm sure she'll be very happy in her new home. Let me tell you, James, I did get a chance to watch the video today. I normally don't get a chance to do so, but I did. And first of all, I think I want to compare him to like you said, the Williams sister's father. I want to compare him to Joe Jackson. And in doing so, I want to say that in the world of sports, sports is a very competitive, trash-talking environment. And so if you expect to do well in sports, seems like trash talking is part of the game. And like Muhammad Ali used to say, like he used to portray, if you don't believe in yourself or if you don't believe in your protege, if you will, then who else will? All right. Now, you make a great argument, though, when you say that the man might be going a little bit overboard because you know, we as parents, we have a tendency to live through the eyes of our children, especially when it comes down to wanting them to accomplish the things that we fell short in. So it sounds like that this is the attitude that this person, Mr. Ball, is taking. But in thinking about what I was going to say about that today, I do want to throw in the point that Joyce and Audrey always bring up about setting the blueprint for their family. Now, if that's the case, then this man has done a great job at that, in setting the blueprint for his boys to where they can be something great in life. But, you know, I did see the interview, and he has to be careful because when these guys make it to the pros, and he put them on such a pedestal that if they are not careful and absorb the big head like their daddy had, then that could cause some locker room tension in the pros and probably even in college. And so, but when it comes down to rubbing LeBron James the wrong way, you know, this is a trash talking sport. LeBron is great in his own right. He's a big baby in a lot of other ways. And so, I think the boys should keep in mind that once they come to the echelon of greatness, that they should kind of humble themselves to where they can help somebody else along and don't have to talk down on other people's kids, and, you know, and be happy for all kids. That was the point that was brought to him. And he said, the guy said, I'll be happy for my kids and let somebody else be happy for their kids. I mean, if you want to take that position, that's fine. But I think that it's somewhat arrogant, and it shows a lot of unsportsmanlike conduct in that respect.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I noticed, that he just seemed to – his point was well taken. But mm-hmm. at the same time, he didn't seem he's sympathetic to kids having to go through – this situation. One of the things I think about, the reason why kids who have superstar parents have a tough time getting to the same level is because they're not as hungry as their parents. See, in athletics, there has to be a hunger to be great. And when you already have a parent, when you're trying to be great because your environment stimulates you to greatness, because of maybe the fact that you don't have to be super poor, but if you are in a poor, a middle class environment, and you're looking at the kind of things you can aspire to have, if you are able to take your talents to the next level, that encourages you a whole lot. So it's not just your talent, but your environment. So one of the things that is difficult for a person to do is if your family is a millionaire already, you don't want to go out there and shoot basketball in the middle of the night. You're not as hungry as your father was because he's taken away some of the obstacles. And so when I look at that, you know, Michael Jordan used to talk about how he used to play basketball all the time, 24/7. And so his kids had much more advantages than he had. So they didn't have that, you know, it's hard to recreate that same hunger for the game that people have when they have adversity. And, again, the adversity doesn't mean that you have to be poor, but the adversity can be just a desire that's created because you see that people have more than you have. But certainly that would be difficult to recreate in Michael Jordan's children's case because there are too many people who don't have what they have. You know, so what this man does not see is there comes a perfect storm when people are trying, when people become superstar. And that perfect storm requires all things to go right. You know, one of the things I tell people when you talk about sports is as I look at it, I never received an injury when I was a child playing sports that required me to go to a doctor. you know, you might twist an ankle and you get your ankle wrapped and you go on with your life. But I never, that never happened to me until I reached college. And my first year in college, I had a knee injury that required me to have an operation. So I never got back to that level of being, my body being in perfect shape. And so I never recreated or grasped hold to that potential that people thought I had, because I thought I was going to be a two-sport star. I thought I was going to play football and I was going to play basketball. And I love both of those sports, but because I injured my knee in football, I never got the opportunity to play basketball. So people don't know it takes not only great talent, but it takes a perfect environment, one in which you don't get hurt. And most of the superstars that you know and you look at, you'll know that they never had any major injury throughout their careers, are no away from their career where with a lot of operations. So it takes a lot. So people need to be careful about just firing these kids on, because things can happen.
And that's true, James. And I want to say real quick, you know, in that respect, with the daddy popping off the mouth like he has and blowing the kids up so intentionally, you know, a knee-to-knee check, a knee check could cause a real bad injury. I mean, somebody could do that intentionally just to antagonize the situation where these guys might not reach the great plateau that should expected of them.
And that's what I'm saying. Sometimes you want to fly underneath the radar until you just pop off the screen, and all of a sudden people say, where did he come from? You know, and being underneath the radar keeps you safe until it's time for you to raise your head. But some people don't want to play it that way. And so now he's set these great expectations for his sons, because there's three of them, and they'll have to try to live up to it. You know, so that's what we're facing, or that was what they'll be facing. Let me go to Audrey and see what she has on her mind.
Everyone, and I tremendous Thursday to everyone. I'm tremendous Thursday to everyone, and I do hope Regina's dedication to for her mother goes well, and we wish them continued blessings. And as it relates to the topic tonight, it's several different components of it. I agree with Regina. We were raised with the focus of knowing that you never have to belittle someone else to build yourself up. And my parents, especially my mother, she took great pride in saying that she never put us, her children, on pedestals. I mean, she never bragged on us to the level in which, you know, disappointment can come, not because of our actions, but just like you said, sometimes just because of some unforeseen issues that may present themselves, whether it's an injury, whether it's health, or whatever the case may be. But I do have to commend him as a father of stepping out and believing in his children. Now, the method in which he's taken, we may not necessarily agree with, and it will cause controversy, but sports at that level, what he's doing, at least what I see him doing, is he's marking them. He's setting them apart, and that has been occurring for years and years, maybe not in our generation. I don't agree with putting down others, especially other children, in order to lift yourself up. You don't have to do that. Just if you're going to promote and advance your children, that's great, but do it on their own merit. As it relates to others being out to hurt them, that increases the effort because in sports it is a competitive game. And some children and some children parents make them that way. They do go out to hurt others so that it can put them up higher and expose them. Or some just get the satisfaction of taking a person down. We see that even with adults. So, yes, that can occur. I do believe the children are equipped to handle the extra pressure that's being put on them? Because I would think that if it's three sons, and I believe that's the case, he's raised them such that they're really, they've been competing against each other all their life. You know, not in a negative form, but he is teaching them the skills to do just that. I get from the conversation, and I didn't get a chance to view all the videos and stuff that you sent, but what I see from that is he's taking his cue from our president. He is getting media attention. He is putting some things out there that people may not necessarily agree with, but his intention of bringing exposure to his children and setting them up for certain expectations. Now, billions with a B, that's a large expectation, but we are encouraged to dream big. And if you're going to go for it, go for it, because he can't allow the opportunity or the chance of an injury occurring to negate him. He is staying focused on where he's trying to, the goal in which he's trying to achieve and the destination he's trying to accomplish. Now, if that comes up, just like any of us, he'll deal with it and go from there. So I don't agree with the negative of putting someone else down to lift yourself up. But I, as a father, he's putting out and negotiating and advertising for his children.
He's already asking for a multi-million-dollar contract with the shoe company for his kids. He's branding his family.
He's in a unique situation
where the.
And who can blame him for that? If you don't ask, you have not because you ask not. And he's asking boldly. And you're exactly right. He's branding. He's marketing. He's doing it.
Well, I tell you, he's in a unique situation where his kids are a few years apart, and all three of them could possibly, in the next 5 years, all three of his kids could be in the NBA. In the next 5 to 6 years, they could all be playing for the same team or for different teams, depending on how it goes. And certainly that would be a very unique situation. He and his wife were both above average athletes. They made it to college, and they produced these three talented sons. But is he going too far when he makes enemies of those who are already in the NBA, antagonizes the environment that is around? Let's go to Kathy, who's always in the corner of kids, and see what she has to say about the way this father is behaving. Kathy, how are you doing this evening?
Good afternoon, family. How are you guys doing today? I'm doing wonderful.
Well, Kathy, did you get to see any videos I shared?
I saw a couple of them. I didn't see all of them, but I did see a couple of them. And actually, me and my husband have been following this gentleman since maybe a couple of weeks ago as he comes on, and they have him on the different shows. And I agree with Audrey that, hey, there's nothing wrong with having confidence in yourself and in your family. It possibly is what we all need, is a little extra confidence in order to get some of the things that we are looking to achieve. You know, it's like he woke up saying that determined, and his son is going to go all the way, and his son is great. And, hey, the Bible speaks about things like that. If you can believe it, you can achieve it, you know. So we can't stop his confidence and him believing in his children. The only thing I will possibly say to that is if he can kind of tone it down a little bit when he is doing a comparison with the children, because all kids watch sports, especially those that are in sports. And for them to see that, hopefully it will encourage them to go out and to do more other than to be discouraged in it. But hey, I'm behind him 100%. He's the father of these three young men who are great athletes, and that's how you push your children. I mean, that's how Venus and Serena dad did them. He wasn't as outspoken and out in the media and everything as much, but he pushed them to that extent to where, look at them now, they are actually great players. And I hope that the mother is in the back praying for her sons that they would stay healthy and they would not have any injuries, and that they would go forth and be great players, just like their dad is saying.
Well, you know, the mother seems to be a little bit more laid back. I can't remember exactly where I saw the interview with all the kids on it and the parents, but she was given the opportunity to talk about her husband and his behavior. And certainly he has been grooming these kids for a long time. They have a very nice home, and they got like three basketball goals around their property. And so they've been shooting basketballs from a very young age and training from a very young age. So he's been very involved in their lives. But again, are he creating an environment for them to be just up against a wall the whole entire time? We're going to take our first break, and then we'll come back and continue our conversation about LeVar Ball.
So, what do you want to do? I'm here, baby. I'm ready, baby. I'm waiting on you. Believe me, I am patiently waiting.
This is James T. Shay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. I want to encourage all of you to go by my website, www.jamestdeshay.com. Let me know what you think. Take a look at my two books that I have available, Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, Passion, Desire, and Contemplation. Listen, guys, you know, one of the things, and I keep interjecting, you know, with some of my experiences, but I could not imagine being on a team where one of my teammates hit 90-some points in one game. And because I can tell you, the year I was on a team where we were number one in the state, we had two players who averaged more than 20 points a game. And when you weren't hitting but maybe 60 points and they were averaging 20, that meant the rest of the team didn't have a chance but to hit 20 points out of four other players. And so, you know, you have to imagine, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of sharing when it comes to playing with these ball boys because they're so committed to being stars that they don't allow anybody else on the team to blossom. Dee, what are your thoughts about them being such stars that the people who are around them are not getting much media attention?
You know, I think that is a valid question, because in the industry of sports, especially a team sport, by the attitude of Mr. Ball, building his kids up so, that could cause some real animosity for wherever they may end up going, whatever team they may end up on. You know, especially in a game like football, if a quarterback thinks that he's the God gift of the team, then if the linemen don't take favorable to that, then that quarterback is going to have a hard time in the NFL or in college, because he's going to end up getting sacked most of the time because of his attitude. Even Kobe Bryant was kind of braggadocious in ways. And at one game he hit 80 points. But it was clear to see that that he was a ball hawk, as we call it in the basketball, that he didn't share the ball much at times, because he knew that he could score. So I think that, you know, we as parents, we have a responsibility to try to help our kids graduate to a healthy social environment when they grow up. So in that respect, I think Mr. Ball is not doing his kids justice by being as braggadocious as he has and creating an environment for his boys going forward.
Joyce came on. Joyce, how are you doing this evening?
Hi, and I'd like to apologize. I had a phone call right at the last minute, so I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Well, Joyce, you raised two sons, and Mr. Ball is raising three sons. You know, and you know that you need to encourage your sons and make them healthy as they're growing up. But he seems to be going a little bit overboard, even though he has created an environment for his sons to be very prolific in basketball. But is he teaching them how to really be a part of a team and not being selfish?
No, he's not. I have two takes on those videos that you sent. I did like the part where he indicated that, hell, UCLA is making all the money. Why not him? Nothing wrong with that. You're marketing your son in that particular way. But I do have a problem with how he addressed LeBron James' 12-year-old son. Don't do that. Secondly, they told him that, look at the Williams girls. They dad had to take a back role because he was out front, but he took a back role. And the difference between tennis and basketball is, like Dee said, when you're playing with a team, believe me, if you don't play as a team and you want to be a ball hog and a show, all it takes is one person to get out the way for you to be crippled for the rest and take you out of the game period. Mm-hmm. You know, so my take is on him. He's setting those kids up, and I sent those to my two sons too. By the way, your video. And my son, who was a professional football player, saying that he needs to shut up because he's really hurting his kids down the stretch. He's not teaching them how to be a team player. He's teaching them how, but they're so used to him being that way. But that's him being that way. But he's not getting them ready for when he has to face reality as a professional and as a team player. So I think he's very cocky. You know, he needs to stay in his lane.
Yeah, he seems to be enjoying the animosity and the adversarial confrontations that he's creating with other people. You know, I went and I looked up his career. He never made it to the NBA. He did play a little bit of pro football, but he didn't last very long. He averaged about 2 points on the college basketball team. And so he, you know, they made a comparison between him and Michael Jordan. And he's calling all these people out, talking about how he can beat all these superstars in a one-on-one competition. And so he's, you know, and of course, ain't none of them are going to play against him because he is not worth their time. But this is the kind of environment he's creating for his boys where he's not going to be making them very likable. So he is calling out specific players. Steve Kerr, he's talking about his boys are better than Steve Kerr. And so he is really creating an environment where his children may come in into the NBA and they may not be the kind of people that people like. And so that is one concern.
Well, in the end, though, you know, actually, you know, you really don't play ball for them to like you. You play the ball for the end of the game. I did watch the tape. They did a special on them the other day on, it wasn't 60 Minutes, but it was on the news. They did a special on them on national news. They are good at what they do. There are three of them. They are really, really, really good. But my thing is it only takes one slip on the hardwood floor and your career is over. But he just signed one of them just signed for $1 billion on shoes. I don't know what company that was, but he said he's no different than the Kardashian. He's marketing his kids. He said he's doing it because UCLA going to be making the money off of him, and why can't he? Unreal, isn't it?
You're right. Let's go up to Audrey and see. Audrey, what are your thoughts about again, you know, we're bringing in some of the new. How likable are these guys? Are they learning to be teammates? Are they being the kind of guys who other people want to play with?
And in most cases, it would appear not. But if they've made it this far, they haven't just started to be, you know, focused on what they're going to be. But, you know, think about it in the business world. You have people in the business world and in organizations that's like that too. They're out for self, and they sell, you know, they'll cut throat to get for whatever it is that they're trying to achieve. And surely, again, team members, some respond differently. Most respond that, you know, it's not fair and, you know, they don't like it and appreciate it. But for them to reach the level in which they have, obviously, that's not of the greatest importance for them, because immediately when you think of someone that scored 90-some points in a game themselves, like you said, my God, every time he went down there, it was in his hands. And I had a chance to actually coach. It was a, you know, City League basketball. And believe you me, I had an outstanding player on the team. And my point was, we play as a team. You know, no matter how good you are or whatever the case may be, I'll lose first. But that was my strategy. It wasn't, you know, the other coach's strategy. If they had a good person, they wanted that person to have the ball in their hands at all times. It just kind of depends. But as it relates to teamwork,
by definition, it doesn't appear that they always say there's no I in team. So these players are identifying with themselves as an I. So it don't it doesn't appear to be as much of a team as it's capable of being, especially when you have one person that can score so many points in one game.
Yeah, I have to tell you, I don't think that we had any animosity about the two superstars who were on our team. Both of them were great players in middle school, and we happened to just merge together at Jones High School, and we loved our team, and we were happy with them scoring the kind of points they scored. And again, we knew that they were going to score about 40 points between the two of them. They were always battling for who was going to score the most points. And the rest of us were happy with playing our role. We knew that we weren't going to get the ball in our hands as much as they were going to get it in their hands. But at the same time, you need to be fair to your teammates. They weren't scoring 90 points a game. Most of the high schools don't even score about 60 to 70 points is the most that any high school team usually scores on average. And so to be able to score that many points, you're shooting a lot of balls. And so, but teamwork is important, and you have to give your other teammates an opportunity to showcase their skills, or you'll have a bunch of people just looking around watching you, and the other guys are not going to be happy with just running up and down the court. Kathy, what do you think about them being team players and whether or not they're going to be able to be on anybody's team if they don't help the other guys show their skills a little?
Well, I haven't watched any of the kids play, and I don't even know how they actually feel about what their dad has said. I'm sure they're probably a little bit embarrassed, because most of the time kids are embarrassed when their parents begin to talk out and say different things, you know, concerning them. But as far as their teammates are concerned, I think that's going to be hard for them as well, because they're going to be looking at what their dad is saying. Maybe some of them may not have fathers at home, and then on the opposite side, some of them may like what he's saying. Some of them may even be coming to his house to be trained by him. We don't know. We just don't know. As for me, I don't know, because I'm not watching the game. I would have to actually see the game, but I was thinking about what I think that was Joyce just said. All they have to do is move out of the way, and he could trip, fall, or anything. But again, I'm praying that his mother is praying for protection and covering for her kids as they go out on that court.
Yeah, you know, you just have to be careful that you don't set up an environment that people don't wish your children well. I don't think there's anything wrong with a man wanting his sons to be successful, wanting them to have everything that the world has to give to them. And he certainly doesn't seem to be doing it from a standpoint of he doesn't have. One of the things he's constantly saying is that he has all that he needs. He just wants his children to maximize their talents and get all that they're worth. And I believe the same thing. You know, we all want all that we're worth, and we want the blessings our God has on the table for us to have. And so I don't think that he's wrong for wanting as much as he possibly can to extend, showcase his family or his boys to the highest degree. I have taken a lot of enjoyment out of watching the Williams sisters and all that they have accomplished. And I'm going to take equally amount of enjoyment out of watching these three boys if they happen to reach the highest height that their father seems that they can make, because it is out there for them to do it. And I get no pleasure out of people failing, and I think we all should pray that they're successful. But I do understand the need for the father to somehow tone it down in terms of that, not create unnecessary obstacles for his son. Joyce, you know, you spoke about the fact that your son suggested that he needed to tone it down a little bit and that he might be creating some obstacles that his sons don't need.
Exactly. You know, everybody don't like you. Everybody don't like your game. And you're always going to have some competitors who want to be better than you. And when you get out there, you're depending not only on just yourself, you're depending on other teammates. And they got to really be into your zone. You take Scotty and Michael. You got to have your yin to your yang. You know, none of those guys could do it by themselves. Not Magic, not Penny Holloway, you name them. Nobody. You need team. You need team players. And if you so cocky, Al, he's getting them set up for a letdown. Everybody want to be successful. And the guy said that that's the way my dad is, that they just know their dad and they support what their dad say. But it comes to a point where he needs to shut up. You know, you market them, you got the spotlight on them, so now you need to tone down your role, just sit back and enjoy the ride. That's what he needs to do. But they saying that he's trying to live through his boys, you know. Your days are over. So now you need to be the cheerleader. And the cheerleader sits on the sideline and go up and down when they do something good. But they do it as a team.
But and you're so right. Every time I hand the ball off to you, so to speak, you always bring something up. Every one of those great teams, you think of Magic, had his supporting cast. Larry Bird had his supporting cast. You know, you can go on and on. Every team had Michael Jordan and Pittman. And, you know, when you look at Detroit, when they were in their heyday, they had a supporting cast. So people need to learn to play together because just one man can't do it. When LeBron was on Cleveland's team, and he left. He tried for many years to do a championship team with Cleveland, but he didn't have a supporting cast. So he went to Miami, where he had Wade, and then he won two championships. I can't remember. He went two times or he won two times. But then he went back to Cleveland, and now he has a supporting cast. And so you can't play basketball by yourself. You know, I don't care how great you are or how such a superstar you are, you have to have a supporting cast that's willing to play with you so that you can reach the highest height. Let's go to break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation about Mr. LaVar Ball.
Drumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly with his song. just kept right on slamming my face with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly with his song. He sang as if he knew me in all my dark despair, and then he looked right through me.
This is James T. DeShave, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, sometimes my mind goes blank, so I'm going to go back to Kathy. Kathy, who were some of Magic's supporting players on that team when they were champions?
Really? You don't ask me? I believe it was Worthy was one. Magic Johnson.
And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, right?
Yes, Kareem was one. And that's it. I'm not really a sports fan.
Well, James Worthy, you were right. It was James Worthy and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I was trying to remember the star that was on the Detroit team, and I can't remember. He was a little short guard, and I can't remember his name. That is awful. That lets you know I'm a basketball fan, but my memory is failing me. Who was the little short guy on the Detroit team? Detroit won the championship a few times. Then it went to the Lakers. Then it went to Boston. And so you had a lot of different superstars who traded the championship. A little different than today.
What about A.C. Green? A.C. Green was one, too, right?
AC Green was on that team.
Monty Bull. Kurt Rambis on there, or was he the coach?
Are you talking about Isaiah Thomas?
Isaiah Thomas was on Detroit's team. You're so right. That's right.
Yeah.
And there was a time that weird forward, what was the guy who went to Chicago who was with Isaiah Thomas on that team?
Muggsy Bull.
Well, golly, I tell you what. But what we can all come to an agreement on is all of those stars had a supporting cast. And Isaiah Thomas couldn't have made it if he didn't have his supporting cast. And Larry Bird couldn't have made it without his supporting cast. And people need to learn how to play together, don't you think, Andre?
Yes, it's important that you. Yes, I was just saying. Yes, it's important that you recognize the people that's a part of your team, if indeed you are playing as a team.
And you don't get to the greatness that you want to get to if you don't allow your other teammates to be a part of the team along with you, right, D? Are you there, D?
You know, we were talking about the supporting cast. And, you know, there's a supporting cast that Mr. Ball, I think he's overlooking. And that supporting cast is public opinion. You know, these athletes, if you want to be successful in sports, you got to ride the coattail of public opinion, because if you don't, then the road is going to be lonely. You can ask Terrell Owens, ask Dennis Rodman, ask Randy Moss for a while. So, you know, some of us have said that we don't care what other people think about us, but yes, we do. So, you know, the supporting cast are the fans. And so when Mr. Ball kind of throws Boas under the bus, And that's, you know, if you're not careful, that's what the end result is going to be. You want the fans to like you. You want to have a strong fan base. Like Odell Beckham Jr., you know, he struggled in and out, up and down about what people say about him, and he can't get his head back in the game a lot of times because he's emotionally stressed about what people says about him. So, you know, I think he does. Mr. Baldwin wants to be careful not to do his boys this justice. When it comes down to when they do become professional, and I understand that one of them, maybe two of them already have, you know, you want the sponsors to like you. You know, so you got to, it's a thin line, and you got to play the game right if you want to get paid like you expect to get paid. Thanks.
Hello?
Yeah.
Sylvester Call, January 30th, 2017.
I am a Democrat. I will be a Democrat beyond the existence of my physical being. I am a liberal because living in the past does not work for those that I serve. I believe in liberal causes because as I better understand the world, I understand the need for change. I live to honor humanity, to serve people who seem unable to grasp the life we should all have. I see the inequity of treatment and desire to see it abolished. The need for the blind to see has never been more necessary. Those who fight for the status quo cling to an era that turns the invisible visible. Embracing wrong can never give one a positive result. The fight for the weak can never be seen as embracing the defeat. We have to rectify the issues that are created by the human trait of racism and supremacy. My God is the creator of all things and the maker of humanity. My view of the world is in line with my purpose as a Democrat. I will not be ashamed of my love for people and the fight to make life equal. We all deserve better opportunities to learn and the chance to live life free of infirmities. We deserve to live free of the creation of Donald Trump. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. The show is brought to you 7 days a week, Sunday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. West Coast Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and 5 p.m. West Coast Time. Call in at 657-383-0309. We no longer can reside in the shadows of life. It is a must that we be out in front of the issues that impact our lives now and in the future. This show has been established for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. Please visit my website, www.jamestdeshay.com. That's www.jamestdeshay. I look forward to you writing to me at djames82@aol.com. That's djames82@aol.com. Let me know what issues you would like to address on my radio show.
What like a plan?